Take your Bibles now and turn with me to Genesis, the last verse of chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. And we'll be reading the first three verses in chapter 2 in just a moment. The message tonight is about seeing. Seeing. We talk about that all the time. They just can't see. You just don't see what I see. We talk about that all the time. See. What a marvelous thing is the eye. Everything that passes before it. It takes a picture. And it sends it to the head and to the heart. Everything that it takes in. It can take in the most minute detail. Or it can capture an entire mountain. It can see what's right in front of it, or it can see what's way off. The Lord called it the light of the body. And most of what the mind processes comes through the eye. Most. I mention somebody's name, immediately you get a picture. And I'll tell you this, I've experienced this. I meet so many people, it's impossible for me to remember their name. But I very rarely forget a face. That eye takes a picture. It takes a picture. And it registers it on the mind and in the heart, and you just don't forget. You see, you may not remember their name, but you'll remember that face. I've seen you somewhere before, this thing. But there's another sight and another eye which God speaks to us about in the Scriptures, and that is the eye of faith. Now, I want you to listen to this. You can turn to it if you want to. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just hold your place there in Genesis. We'll be coming back in just a minute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about the inward man's struggle and his conception of the sufferings that he goes through in this life in particular. And he's talking about those tribulations and trials that God sends his way and how the man of faith deals with those things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 18, he says, while we look, while we look, not on the things which are seen. What in the world is he talking about? If you look, you see, don't you? But he said, he's talking about eyes of faith here. He's talking about a different kind of vision. He's talking about the eyes of faith. And he says, while we look on things, look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith sees eternal things. It sees spiritual things. It sees what the natural eye cannot see. Faith goes past what these eyes see and what these ears hear. And he goes on down in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7, and says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The eye is a wonderful thing, but the eye of faith is even more glorious. The eye of faith is the window of the soul. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I quoted the very first part of this verse a few moments ago in the introduction. But here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, our Lord says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The Lord compares our bodies to a room or to a house or to a temple. And he says it has an eye, and that eye is the source of light into that room, into that temple, into that house. Just one source. Take away the source of the light, the house is dark. The house is dark. Now watch. He's going to leave. He's going to leave the natural. And he's going to move on to the spiritual. Now listen to this. Verse 23. But if thine eye be evil. What's he talking about? He's talking about that eye of perception. That eye of faith. That eye that perceives. Now watch it. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that be in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? If the house just has one source, it just has one way for light to come in, and that light is evil, then it don't matter how much light is out there. If all the light that was out there came in, it'd all be evil. Because the eye is evil. You see what he's saying here? The source. The source. And there is an eye of perception that comes by hearing and reasoning and logic. There is an eye of understanding that brings light into a man. And if that eye go unchanged, undisturbed, without intervention from God, that man's body going to be filled with darkness. That eye perceives, that eye of perception. Those Jews to whom our Lord was speaking here, those Jews thought they were righteous men. They were convinced of it. They were convinced that he was an evil man. You see what I'm saying? And this is what the Lord was telling them. He says, everything that's being processed into you is coming through an evil eye, an evil perception, an evil understanding. Everything. You know, we think folks just wrong on a few points. They're wrong by nature, aren't they? Everything that they process in is wrong. It processed in wrong. It don't matter what it is. Don't matter what it is. They're not just wrong on a few things. They're wrong-headed and wrong-hearted. That's what he's telling them. Doesn't matter how much he hears and sees, because all that enters through the evil eye is evil. The eye of faith goes past these things, and by the power of God, fills the heart with that good light of God. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. They see. Now tonight I want to approach this seventh day of rest, and I want you to notice that it begins with a look. I'd moved completely out of chapter 1, was in chapter 2, and had began to study and had already read three or four of the old writers on the subject and three or four messages by this one and that one, and I went back to reread the scriptures again, and boy, that first word there in chapter 2 just jumped out at me. Thus. You see it? Thus. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished and all the host of them. What's he talking about? Thus. Thus. Well, I move back up there to verse 31 and here's what it says. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished. Verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Alright, now here's the heart of what I'm going to tell you tonight. There can be no rest until the work be completed. Not going to be any rest. God ain't going to rest. Now I'm telling you, if anybody could do a work that didn't need examination, it'd be God, wouldn't it? but he examined his own works. There's not going to be any rest until whatever it is that God intends to do, until that work is completely finished. Not going to be any work. Not going to be any rest. Not going to be any rest. And there can be no completion of the work without His looking at the work and approving of what He did. Now listen to me. I said all that I said about the eye to say this. Faith sees what God sees. Now you think about that. I want you to think that over. Faith sees with God's eyes, not their own. Faith sees what God sees. Now, I know how natural men think, and I know how they reason, and I know how they see and what they see, and I don't need them to give me explanations. I don't need them to give me their arguments and ideas and situations and circumstances. I don't need to hear it because I've already heard it. I don't need for them to explain things to me because I see through His eyes. Now, I don't see to the degree He sees, and I don't see with the perfection that He sees, but I see. And what I see is what He sees. That's what faith does. How does faith know about sin? Huh? When did you get upset about sin? When you found out what sin was and against who sin was, how'd you do that? You saw sin the way God sees sin. That's right. I wasn't in much trouble the way I saw sin. But boy, when I saw sin through His eyes, it's a different story. Faith sees with the eyes of God. With the eyes of God. At the feast of the Passover, it said there was a great crowd of people and many believed on Him. This is over in John chapter 2. And He said many believed on Him when they saw the miracles that He did. They believed on Him. You remember He took those few fishes and loaves and fed 5,000 men that said they would have taken Him by force and made Him king. They were just going to take Him down and make Him king. They were going to establish a kingdom right there, right then, because they saw what He did. But now listen to this. John chapter 2 verse 24. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew. He knew all men. He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. Now I'm telling you, if God gives you eyes of faith, you're going to see the way He sees. How are you going to see? Through the Word of God. I don't need a miracle. I don't need somebody to raise from the dead. If God lets me look through His eyes and see me, and I receive His testimony, that's what faith does. Faith believes God. Faith believes God. Well, what does God say? He says what He sees. That's what He said. What does God see? He said, well, He opened up the doors of heaven. It says this over in the Psalms. And He looked down to see if there's any righteous. God looked. What did He see? None. You can read about it over in Romans chapter 3. He looked down. There was none righteous. There was none seeking after God. They'd all gone astray. You can read the whole thing. Romans chapter 3 is just a quotation from the Psalms. It says back in Genesis that He saw every imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of men. They were only evil continually. That's what God sees. What do I see? I see same thing. Same thing. Because I see, eyes of faith sees what God sees. They receive that testimony. And so do you. If you're a believer, I don't need to know how men think. I already know how they think. I don't need to know what to think. I don't need a confessional. I don't need to hear about this situation or that situation. I know what's in man because I have God's testimony and those eyes of faith receive it. They receive it. Now let me give you some things here to think about. It says, God saw everything that He made. I'm going to give you four or five things. First of all is this. Let me know, without doubt, that nothing escapes the eyes of God. Nothing. I want you to think about that. Nothing escapes the eyes of God. Not even His own works. Nothing escapes. God sees everything. He sees all. He said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, He said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. It says the thought of foolishness is sin. Satan said in his heart. He didn't even mutter the word. He never got them out. He was gone. Satan said in his heart he was going to do this. Nothing escapes the eyes of God. He sees all. He sees all. There's just no way for us to comprehend that, is there? He sees all. And we come and we fool ourselves into believing because we do this or do that and we approve of it or this one approves of it or the whole group approves of it. Doesn't make a bit of difference. What matters is what God approves. What God approves. And He sees all. He sees all. Now listen to me. I said a few minutes ago, if ever there was a work that did not need looking at, approving of, it was the work of God. Why then did He look? Did God have doubt about what He'd made? No. Did He suspect something wrong with what He'd done? No. Why then did God look? Because faith can only see what God sees. That's why He looked. He looked so you can look. You think about it. He looked. He looked on the travail of the soul of His Son and was satisfied. Why did He look? So you can look. So I can look. God looked. Why did He look? God already knew what was in the hearts of men. Why did God look down from heaven and tell us what He saw so I can look? Why did God look upon His creation at the end of that sixth day and give His approval and announce that it was good so I can look? That's why. So I can look. All right. Think about this. Here's the second thing. How does God look? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 is that chapter in the Bible that deals with rest. Now, that's what our subject is. So you can put your marker over that because probably next week we'll be talking something similar and we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 4. And this is a chapter in the Bible that deals with rest. Talks about God's entering into His rest and ceasing from His labors in verse 4. And verse 5 speaks of Israel and Canaan, that God would not allow them to enter into His rest. And there's a little bit of bad translation there. So if you look over in the margin of your Bible, when he talks there about entering into His rest, what he's actually saying is that they're not going to enter into His rest. And you can go back into Deuteronomy and the different places where this is in the Psalms. There's if you look in the margin of your Bible over there, it'll tell you over there what it says. But he's talking about this rest. And then in verse 7, he talks about David. David. Talking about a day of hearing his voice and of hardening not your heart as Israel did in Canaan. And then in verse 8, that Jesus, and that word is Joshua, did not give them rest, or David would not have spoken of another day of rest. Now he starts out talking about that rest in Genesis, and then he talks about that day of provocation where Israel provoked him those 10 times. You remember I brought a message on it here not too long ago. And God swore an oath that they wasn't going to enter in because of unbelief. And here in chapter 4 it talks about that. Chapter 3. And then he talks about another day of rest. And David talks about it. And so he says, and therefore there remaineth a rest to the people of God. The seventh day that God decreed is a day of grace. It's a day of rest. It's a day of sanctification. It's a blessed day. It's blessed of God. It's a perpetual rest that all believers may enter into by faith and cease from their labors as God did from His. And we're talking about this rest of God, this work He looked upon, this work He says which is finished down here in verse 11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For, you see that word for? It means because. Because. For the Word of God. Now watch this. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now these verses here are not talking about the written Word of God, they're talking about the living Word. They're talking about the Son of God. If you'll just finish reading that chapter, you'll see where he says, seeing these things, therefore we have a high priest who's entered. He's talking about the high priest. He's not talking about a day, he's talking about a person. A person being the fulfillment of that work. A person in whom all things are discerned and divided and seen. A person through whom God looks and sees all things. When God stood there in this chapter 2 of Genesis, or verse 31 of chapter 1, and looked on His creation, He looked through the eyes of the Mediator. He looked through the eyes of the Creator. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So there's no doubt in my mind. When He looked at these things, He's looking through the eyes of the Mediator. Are you with me? Faith receives the testimony of God. When we talk about seeing, we're talking about receiving the testimony of God. That's how faith sees, through the Word of God. But the Word of God, the written Word of God, has to do with the living Word of God. Has to do with the person of Christ. And so that I know that all these things, even back here in Genesis, have something to do with Him. That revelation of God in Him. And what faith does is to see the same way God sees. It's brought to consider things in the light of Christ. God sees all things in Christ because that's where He put them. I don't need to read that to you. We've read it 1,000 times. Over in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2. He put everything in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, all spiritual blessings are in Him. Everything's in Him. He moves on down in chapter 1 of Ephesians and talks about everything being gathered unto Him. Everything in heaven, earth, and hell. Everything. Everything's in Him. And that's where God sees these things. That's how He looks upon things. Because that's where He put it. And that's where He determined for it to be seen. Creation, providence, salvation. What faith does is to see the same things God sees. It's brought to consider these things in the light of Christ. And He says this, God doesn't see as a man sees. Man looks on the outward countenance. That's as far as these eyes can go. You come here and I see your face. That's all I can see. God sees your heart. Huh? He sees your heart. And He don't just see your heart tonight. He saw it yesterday and the day before, and He sees it 20 years from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 minutes from now, or ever how long God has determined for you to live. He sees it. He said there's nothing that escapes His vision. He don't see as a man sees. I want to get a hold of that, because we make too many determinations by men's reactions and how this one feels and how that one feels and how this one, what they say and what this man thinks, or we take a vote on, see what the majority thinks. I'll tell you one thing I've learned. Man is man. He's fallen and he's sinful. And if you can get 10,000 of them to vote, they'll all vote wrong. Every one of them. And He's given us examples of that. Look at Israel. They stood there by Canaan. 2 of them wanted to go in. 3 million of them wanted to not go in. That's a lot. Man, that's a lot. That'd convince me, wouldn't it, you? I'd leave the 2. I'd go with the... That's right. 100 people wrong don't make a thing right. Still wrong. But when God stood at the end of creation and He looked at all He'd made, He looked through the eyes of the Redeemer, discerning, dividing, piercing, seeing why it was made and for whom it was made, how it was made. And He beheld it, and it was good. It was good. I'm telling you, we better get a hold of this. God sees all things in Christ, because that's where all things have been submitted. All right, here's the third thing. When God looked, how far did He look? Did the fall take Him by surprise? Did men going sour before the flood, that take Him by surprise? Did the Tower of Babel take Him by surprise? What took Him by? Nothing. When God looks, how far does He look? He sees the end from the beginning. That's how far He can look. I'm scared to look at next week, ain't you? He, eyes of faith let you see what God sees, and God sees the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. How come He can see the end from the beginning? God only sees what He determines to be done. There's nothing outside of God. Nothing. When God sees a thing in the future, it's because He determined for that thing to be done. Well, how can God see me justified before Christ ever died on a cross or rose from the dead? Because God is an eternal being. And He's determined for that thing to be done, and it's going to be done. And nothing's going to stop it. I read that to you a while ago over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These eyes see carnal things. Faith sees what these eyes can't see. It sees eternal, eternal things. Everlasting things. Eyes of flesh cannot perceive spiritual things, because spiritual things are eternal, and eternity is beyond the scope of man's perception. Let me read you something I bet you've never read. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, I've read this first verse, but I failed to look at the second one. Listen to this. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now. You ever read that? I don't think I've ever stopped to take time to even consider that. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, what's he talking about there? He's saying what God hath determined to be done in the past, that's what he requires to be done at the end. He requires it, and it's going to be done. It's going to be done. Take spiritual eyes to see that. Eyes of God. Eyes of the eternal mediator. Eyes of deity. And yet by faith our eyes look with God and we can see what He sees. Paul said this over in Acts chapter 13, verse 48. It says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There's no getting out of it, was there? There's no resisting it. Oh, they resisted. They resisted from the time they were children. They resisted their parents, and they resisted the local authorities and governments, and they resisted just like we resisted. They resisted God. They resisted truth. They despised it. But when God sent His gospel in power with His Spirit, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And they still do. They still do. Oh, I'm telling you, God sees the end from the beginning. When he looked at creation, he looked past the past. I'll let that sink in for a minute. He looked past the past. He saw the fall. When God said, behold, it is very good, He looked past the fall. And He looked past the flood. And He looked past, oh sorry, Israel. And He looked past the days of the idolatry of the Gentiles. And He looked past all those things. He looked past the cross. He looked at the end. And He said, behold. You know how come he could see? Because he looked through the eyes of the mediator. God sees the end. Ignorant men imagine the fall of man a surprise to God. Circumstances to react to. And over, the Lord calls Christ the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God looked with eternal eyes, all-seeing eyes, eyes that discern, divide, and pierce through time and circumstance, to see all things exactly as He purposed that they should be. And He said, it's good. All believers in Christ, think about that. That's what faith sees. That's where the comfort is. That's where the assurance is. That's where the calmness comes from. That's where the rest. In that chapter 4 of Hebrews, where he's talking about rest, he said, look through these eyes. These eyes discern all things. They discern all things. These eyes, this word through which God looks and through which the believer looks, that's that word that divides and sees and conquers circumstance and all these things, sharper than a two-edged sword. And then fourthly, what is the results of this look? Well, it says it's a blessed day, a sanctified day, and a day of rest. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, we don't keep a day. I don't keep the Sabbath day. And we don't keep the Sabbath of weeks or years. There was all kind of Sabbaths. We don't keep a day. And all these things that were kept and were given under the law, they were all pictures of this day of rest. And this day is a perpetual day because Christ is our rest. Christ is our Sabbath. Now, listen to this here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." Now listen, "until the day dawn." What day? What's he talking about? Take heed. Take heed to the Word of God. Receive the Word of God. Until the day dawn. What day? What's he talking about? I'm talking about that rest. What are you talking about? And the day star, the light of the day, the eyes of the day, the light, arise in your heart. Listen to this over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 4, he said, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day." What's he talking about? He's talking about that day of perpetual rest that's in Christ. That's what he's talking about. That day. That day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. He said, "While it is said today, harden not your hearts." Ain't that what David said? Ain't that what that chapter is all about in Hebrews? How many times does he say that in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4? Today! 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 When God looked with those eyes of discernment, when God looked through eternity and saw the end from the beginning, when God saw everything that He made and pronounced it good, He said, "Now we can rest. And I'm going to sanctify this day, and I'm going to bless this day." Today! Today! Oh God, let me get hold of that in my heart. Today! Every day from that day to this, every day a perpetual day in Christ, a day of grace, a day approved, a sanctified time of rest, every day from that day to this and right on into eternity. Today, if you harden not your hearts, today, today. While they said today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which believe do enter in to rest. What is this faith? It's the eyes of the soul seeing with the eyes of the Spirit the things of Christ. All the spies were sent together into Canaan. They all saw with these eyes. They all saw the giants, and they all saw the walled cities, and they all saw the great armies. Every last one of them, all 12 of them seen. Two of them seen what 10 couldn't. Now Joshua, who was a type of Christ, and Moses as general, he went over and stood with Moses. And Caleb stilled the people. And he said, "I saw the giants. They're over there. I saw the walled cities. I saw it all." But he said, this thing is like, it's like a victory already won. It's like a tale already told. This is like a deed already accomplished. For God goeth with us. That's what he saw. These men saw what was in them and saw what was in that land, and they said, we ain't going in. We ain't going in. Caleb saw God. And he saw with the eyes of God. What difference would it make if there was 100,000 and the walls were 400 feet tall? It wouldn't make any difference to God. God wound up tearing the walls of Jericho down with a bunch of trumpets. Took them down. Took them down. They saw the work already accomplished, tale already told, the victory already won. You'll never enter into rest looking through these eyes. We must, by faith, be enabled of God to see what he sees. And when you can look, John, with his eyes, and you can see your sins nailed to a substitute on that cross, when you can see with those eyes of faith, as God sees, the soul of Christ in its travail, satisfying divine justice, when you can see with the eyes of God that walk of faith in the substitute, in our representative, obeying that law, loving that law, meditating in that law day and night, honoring that law through his own obedience, exalting that law to a position it never had before. When you can look through these eyes and you can see even the chastenings of God to be for our good, and you can see his protection, and you can see how he's provided for you in all things, all things in providence, Winston, working together for you. We can't even get a hold of that, can we? Huh? When you can see with the eyes of God, you're going to say the same thing he did. It's good. It's good. And you're going to rest. But till you see through his eyes, you ain't going to rest. You ain't going to rest. You're going to be shook up, tore up, not be able to do anything. Let me read this to you, and then I'll close. In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The Lord had pronounced a woe on two great cities. And he tells them, he said, if Tyre and Sidon had saw what you saw, if the mighty works which were done in you were done in them, they'd still be here. He said, Sodom and Gomorrah, they knew what that was about. We still know what that was about. He said, if the mighty works which were done in you were done in them, they'd still be here. And he upbraided the cities. And listen to this, verse 24. He said, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. I'm telling you, that's going to be said of a lot of our cities right here in the United States. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. Now listen, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Why? Why? Because he knows the Father. And he sees the Father, and the Father sees him. And what's better than that? The Father sees you in him. In him. Oh, God, give me these eyes. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. and my burden is light. And I might just add this one thing. God only looked. You check me out now and see if this ain't so. God only looked and approved of His own works. Now He saw the end and everything in between. But what He saw and approved is what He made. What He made. God hath made Him to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And it was good. It was good.